And the crowd came together again, so they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him. For people were saying,
"He has gone out of his mind."
And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said,
"He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he has cast out demons."
And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables.
"How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they have said, 'He has an unclean spirit.'"
Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him,
"Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you."
"Who are my mother and my brothers?"
And looking at those who sat around him, he said,
"Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my mother and brother, and mother and sister and mother."
This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
One of my most treasured pastimes is researching family genealogy and ancestry. As my interest has grown and my research has expanded, my role in the family has too, to family historian. About 10 years ago, my casual research here and there became a clear passion. So I began to construct a comprehensive family tree, and I worked on it any chance I could. I became a little obsessed. It was incredibly detailed work, but so much fun diving through the history of my four grandparents and each of their families. After years of work, the family tree now spans many generations on each side, with hundreds of newly found documents, photos, and stories as well. It is such an honor to learn of the ancestors who prayed for the future generations of my family. For many, not all, family is the first place people find intimacy. But Jesus is reminding us that ultimate companionship can be found with God and in the relationships we nurture through the Holy One. Our youth group embodies this sentiment. Our youth group is a family. And this is nothing new. The Broadway Baptist Youth Group was a family in the 80s and the 90s when I was in the group. During the last 23 years with Fran Patterson, and the many years of Diane Finley leading chapel choir, and it remains still today on this celebratory Senior Recognition Sunday, Youth Sunday. Let me offer just a little glimpse, because I get to see things a little closer than some of you. No one can look at John Witten and Ethan Baker and not recognize a true brotherhood, a brotherhood in Christ. Katie Carlson, Kennedy Meyer, Ava Hoyt, that's a sisterhood. Gabby Price and Anna Sowell, they embody sisterhood. Did you know that Jack Nelson's an only child? Hardly. He has at least four other brothers, Charlie, Hunter, Crash, and Nathan. Sam and Lexi Jarks and Nathan Broyles, because they're really close in age, I'm not leaving Hannah out, are truly like family. I could go on and on. The youth group isn't the only place in the church, in our church, where you can find a sense of family and community. Many other areas of ministry also embody this sense of family, including music ministry. As a choir director, I can tell you firsthand that choir is a family. I've experienced it as the singer and the accompanist and the conductor. And all of our choirs, chancel, chapel, concord, children's, preschool, even our handbell choirs experience that sense of Christian fellowship, camaraderie, especially our chapel choir after a week of mission tour. In the arts, we often speak of choirs being greater than the sum of their parts, and it's true. Even a chord can be when considering emotion and color. But being Broadway, I don't suppose I need to explain the power and emotion a chord can hold. This context of humanity as a whole, that the choirs, youth group, and even all of our wonderful Sunday school classes represent, is an even more beautiful depiction. We can't see it now. For now, we only see little parts. We can't see the intricate mosaic created when each of us is brought together. But one day we will. Our gospel lesson today, found in Mark, that the Reader's Theater brought to life, is particularly interesting and confounding. It seems that Jesus' family is blind to his true identity. Jesus' relatives are responding out of concern for him, but also perhaps out of reputation of the family. Once they arrive, they send a message to him from outside the house, trying to persuade him to come with them. They think he's insane. Has anyone in your family ever accused you of being insane? How did that family get together end? The different translations read, Jesus was beside himself, out of his mind, lost his senses, became mad, lost his mind. Maybe it was the motley crew he had just assembled, the naming of the 12. I'm sure these weren't the type of guys Mary imagined Jesus hanging around with in middle school. And maybe it was the fact that he all of a sudden left home and abandoned the family business. His own family recognized something in his character as being insane. And perhaps others will view us the same. The Reverend Dr. William Taliaferro Thompson, the late professor from Union Theological Seminary, said, "We could be worse than to be beside ourselves for God." The 5th century theologian and prolific writer Augustine asked, "What do I love when I love my God?" In other words, this God who is my God, the object of my desire and my love, is the quintessence of my inner self. Self-discovery and discovery of God go hand in hand. And often we're seeking God outside of ourselves when God is inside all along. Whoever does the will of God is not only the sister, brother, and mother of Jesus, but by that very fact is also her or his own true and deepest self. Seniors, as graduation approaches, you have been hearing rhetoric around finding yourself and discovering who you are. But remember that kinship with God is finding true selfhood. When Jesus' family arrived, they weren't asking to be let in. If they had, the story would be different. They were asking for him to come out and leave with them. But his mother and brothers and the scribes were outside seeking him. Jesus' family is trying to remove him from his work, the work of the kingdom. Jesus is in the very act of doing the work of God with his disciples when he's summoned. And Jesus finds his kinship with those who do God's will even more compelling than his kinship to his own relatives. As a result, he is considered mad or eccentric. And he certainly is. He is eccentric because his life revolves not around his natural family or even humankind in general, but around God and God's purposes in the world. We often struggle to accomplish our own will, to realize our own personal goals. But at the center of Jesus' life is the desire to please and glorify God above all things. So who's off center? Jesus or us? Our youth get that. They have outside forces from all angles. And we all do. Sometimes it's our families. Sometimes it's the scribes. Sometimes it's the politicians, the media. And sometimes it can be our own inner voice. It's no accident that Jesus is returning home to a house, probably Simon's and Andrew's, and that our story begins with him being pursued there. He's trying to retreat and relax. He's become really popular, and he's probably just trying to find something to eat. He'd like to, dare I say, quarantine himself, but the crowds weren't having it. In this passage, the two groups who should have recognized him first, his own family and the teachers of the law, don't at all. After the scribes accuse Jesus of collusion with Satan, his answer consists of a series of sayings which the text calls parables. The general principle that Satan can't cast out Satan, the point, Professor Emeritus Lamar Williamson Jr. says, is that any entity divided against itself cannot stand, whether a kingdom, a house, or Satan. And Jesus makes it clear that he shares no kinship with Satan. Episcopal priest Michael Marsh says, the beginning of wholeness is acknowledging our brokenness. Where is our house divided? How and to what extent have I created conflict and division within my relationships? In what ways do we live fragmented lives? In what ways have our lives shattered? With anger and resentment, with sorrow and loss, fear of the future, loneliness. Mark 3:35, the focus of my sermon, although succinct, has been echoing through my heart and mind for weeks. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, sister, and mother. That's a little dangerous with my whole family sitting in the front row over here. My first thought centered on the members of this church who have been like family to me throughout these years. And I've seen this in the relationships you, Broadway, have cultivated and maintained throughout a pandemic, through prayer chains, Sunday school Zooms, and even through social media. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, sister, and mother. As I began to uncover the Greek translation, a clearer picture was revealed. For whoever does. The Greek verb is poieo, and its definition is to make, to do, to work. So if I may, this youth group, by definition, is doing the will of God when we work together making thank you posters for the staff at True Worth Presbyterian Night Shelter, when we collect pounds of food throughout the year for those in need, when we make baskets filled with household staples for Afghan refugee families, when we work at Camp Broadway, renewing the pews in the worship area, when we make music in opulent cathedrals like the Cathedral Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in Denver, when we do the mission work each summer around the United States, this summer in our own backyard, and realize It's our own lives we've changed while helping others. Broadway, I offer you the same challenge and charge I offer our youth. Invite everyone into the fold. Look for those who are left out. If someone leaves our service, our youth group gathering, our choir rehearsal, our Sunday school lesson feeling overlooked, then we have failed to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's be beside ourselves and live into this extraordinary hospitality we claim. The Fuller Youth Institute at Fuller Seminary has just completed 6 years of what they call the Sticky Faith Research, to give parents, youth leaders, and churches the practical tools needed to instill long-term faith in young people as they graduate. Their research has uncovered some surprising information. Most people think that what youth need is a bunch of youth gatherings, just with their peers. What they really need is intergenerational activities that remove the walls separating the generations. And this comes as no surprise to me. Some of my strongest connections to this church and the big church included time spent with Bill and Theresa Cothran, Helen Joyce West, David Grable, Gary and Lou Ann Malden, and Brent and Tiffany McLean. The Fuller Youth Institute says churches and families wanting to instill deep faith in youth should help them build a web of relationships with committed and caring adults, some of whom serve as intentional mentors. But how do we create this intention? Those people I named didn't just happen to make a difference in my life. They intentionally made it happen. Lou Ann Malden volunteered to teach my 12th grade Sunday school class. Brent McLean volunteered to accompany chapel choir for 25 years. David Grable taught both my 8th and 11th grade Sunday school classes. And now is the perfect time. We have been in a season of waiting, a season of preparation, and in the fall we will be returning to a lively time of choir and handbell rehearsals, missions, Sunday school, and we need you. Our children and youth need you. Consider volunteering to be an assistant, an accompanist, if you can play the piano, conductor, Sunday school teacher, camp or retreat sponsor, or preschool teacher or helper. And also pray for our seniors as they embark on their individual journeys after graduation. I know, because I was once a senior who graduated from this church, they still need you. They need you even more now. Send them a card. Drop them a positive note. Help them to remember how much you love them. To love someone is sacred. The relationship which exists is holy and indescribable. Like the moment my child was born, and I heard her cry for the first time. I was filled with such gratitude, all I could repeat was, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God." Some moments are filled with such holiness that words are inadequate. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. So to love someone is to show them a side of God. My favorite musical is Les Miserables. And its most famous quote is, "To love another person is to see the face of God." We hold such a responsibility. What do I love when I love my God? How we extend the right hand of acceptance and love, justice and peace to our neighbor to show the face of God is important. Do others see that God is love through our actions? Is everyone included in neighbor? We are Christ's representatives, and we need to ask ourselves, how are we doing? In the wise words of the Reverend Nadia Boltz-Weber, when we pray, we hold ourselves and our loved ones and the world up to God. And then we pass it off for the next person to do the same. And these prayers, these times when we mindfully hold others in the presence of God, are like gossamer threads connecting us to God and God's children. When we pray on another's behalf, we become connected to God through that person. Because maybe these silken threads of prayer, which connect us to God and one another, and even to our enemies, are how God is stitching our broken humanity back together. Broadway, don't just stand up for justice. Turn to your neighbor and offer it. Amen.